Yeah, I kept telling him, oh no, I'm just getting them to health and then the boonie babies are gonna adopt them out.
Little did he know that Journey was the boonie baby.
I was starting to be the Tinian boonie babies.
Hello and welcome back to this week's episode of Hot Girls Rescue Dogs. I'm Grace.
I'm Aria.
This week's episode is dedicated to Triple J Motors, Saipan, and Guam. Because of their donation, we were able to spay and neuter, I think it was 5 dogs, which is absolutely incredible. If you would like to follow their amazing lead and donate to the cause, everything is linked in our bio below.
Would be much appreciated.
Always much appreciated and continuously needed. So thank you to everyone for supporting us in any way, shape, or form, even just by listening to this podcast or subscribing, which is also linked below. Subscriptions start as low as 99 cents a month.
But who would do that?
It's not very nice. But if every one of our 500,000 followers decided to donate $1 a month, we'd be rich and be able to save the boonies, and then we could stop asking for money. Anyways, thank you for the support. It does not go unnoticed or unappreciated, and we truly would not be able to do any of this without you. That being said, another amazing person who has really made Boonie Babies possible from day one is joining us today on this episode.
So exciting!
One of our friends, one of 5. You know, they keep going up in numbers though. We keep saying our only friend, and then we have like another friend on the podcast.
We have a whole like solid 4 now.
Yeah, this is incredible. So one of our day one supporters and friends, the amazing Journey Hofschneider, is joining us today to give her amazing outlook, perspective, behind the scenes information from day one. Journey, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
We're great. Thanks for being here. Journey herself just started listening to the podcast about a week ago.
Yeah, sorry.
So this just goes to show that, you know, it's never too late to join.
You know who else just started listening?
Who?
Kaylee. Shout out to Kaylee if you're still listening.
Yeah.
Our baby cousin.
Our cousin. Every time I go home or talk, not even go home, anytime I speak to anyone who's even just a casual acquaintance, the podcast always gets brought up. And our little sister, Ava, who's 14, she was like, Grace, why do you keep trying to make everyone listen to the podcast? I was like, well, first of all, you're my family, so I actually can harass you on this, and you should be listening to my podcast. But anyways, Journey has now, you know, bypassed the harassment and has just decided to join on her own terms, which is awesome. We're happy to have her here. But in addition to supporting the podcast, Journey really has been there from day one. I think she was actually literally one of the very first people to donate to Boonie Babies when we decided to make this whole thing a real thing.
She accidentally got bamboozled into the whole thing.
Maybe I should explain.
So, Aria, I want you... How did we trap Journey? Where did this all start?
Cute puppies and sabotage. This was back in the way beginning, like 4 years ago? 4 or 5 years ago?
Yep.
And we came across a bunch of puppies in the jungle and their mom and some other dogs that we shoved in our car.
Usual day in the life.
Yep. And we had these super adorable puppies, and this was the first litter we had taken in. So we'd fostered a few dogs before, we'd had a few rescues here and there, but this was a litter of 5 plus mama. So this was our first big rescue. We were super into it, posting about it to our 40 followers on Instagram at that time. And we posted that people could sponsor the puppies and donate to name them. And Miss Journey from Tinian messages with her donation
right away.
Like, name this puppy Rizzo.
I want this one.
So, yeah, let me just... So, I was just scrolling on my Instagram, and I had just met these girls, and I found out that they started a rescue. And so I was just curious just to see what they had going on. They had a couple posts, and I saw the post about the cutest little puppies and name a puppy for $40. And I was like, I'm going to name a puppy. I can't have a puppy, but I'm going to name a puppy. And so for context, I had just moved over from Canada where I had absolutely no pets. Typically, you can't have a pet in a rental unless you pay a ton of extra money. So even though I was a single person without anything, any, you know, I wanted a dog, but I couldn't get one. I just was comfortable living my life as a person that had no pets. So I come over to take care of my dad. We live on a farm in Tinian, which is a 7-minute flight from Saipan on a 6-seater little airplane. And because I can't have a dog, because my dad was not about to let me have, you know, typically locals don't have indoor pet, like indoor animals. They usually have boonie dogs out for like security. So like chained up and just to bark when we have like any visitors coming. But the idea that I had in my head when I moved over to Tinian was get a Jeep, have the dog. And I even purchased stuff before. I never told you this, but I actually purchased a dog life jacket. but I did, and I still have it. I don't actually know where it is, but yeah. So wasn't allowed to have any pets. Didn't break, like, you know. Didn't think about asking my dad. So I figured virtually name, like having a pet, like dog.
I think what you're confessing to is the plan was never just to have a virtual pet. Like, clearly, there were ulterior motives already.
There was thought, but I wasn't going to. I was just, I had enough on my plate adjusting to new life in the CNMI. And so seeing that post, I picked out Rizzo, my baby, right away because she had the cutest face, in my opinion, but also... Shout out to Emily with Milky and Lucy, who are Rizzo's sisters. They're cute too. But mine is also very cute.
Not as cute, but they're cute.
So anyway, so I then started to, because they also enticed me with, oh, we'll give you updates on how Rizzo's doing and all these. So I would keep getting these really cute little videos of her running and like, I remember
needing a home, not having a mom, lost and alone with no one to guide her.
Yep. And then I saw one of her on the skateboard. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I have to figure out how to sneak this dog over. So one day I said, I'm gonna work on adopting her. And I came over to Saipan and I visited Rizzo, saw her. I just fell in love and I was like, I'm going to sneak her in. She's small enough to sneak in, right? So I made the arrangements and they kept her for vaccinations. And then I remember being so excited buying like the pads and like the toys and the doghouse and the blanket. And I knew this girl was going to be bougie from the start because she was going to be living inside my room and not outside on a chain. And
Bougie boonie.
I figured that I would just commit the crime and then ask for forgiveness later from my dad because, you know, I just moved halfway around the world to help him with the farm and his, you know, with his health issues and whatnot. So I figured it was a good compromise. Anyway.
So, but now he loves his granddaughter, right?
And
Wizzo.
He calls her Wizzo. He's so cute. But I said, it's just grandpa because she was barking at him the other day. And he goes, she's not my granddaughter. I'm like, it's the only baby you're going to get from me. So yes, she is. She is your granddaughter.
Take that.
Anyway, so it started with Rizzo.
That's where it goes downhill.
It goes downhill. I was so proud to be a rescue mom. And she came trained a bit. So she knew how to sit and knew how to listen pretty good. But then when I continued hanging out with Grace a lot in Tinian.
Things spiraled out of control.
The booty girls. We were at the beach and we saw this little tiny puppy tied up at the hotel across the way.
I forgot about that guy.
And we looked around and no one was around. And it's actually the hotel where all the military are staying. And so we thought, let's steal this dog for the day.
Well, and steal, we have stolen dogs. That isn't even the correct
we weren't really stealing.
Word here, because the puppy was just running around near the beach completely unattended. So we're like, well, he's clearly being cared for, but we will have a fun day with this dog.
Right.
Where he lives, he wasn't taken anywhere. The funny part about this, though, is when all of his dads did come home, instead of being like, wow, how cool. Like, you're playing with, what did they call him?
Joe.
Joe. Like, what a cool thing for Joe. They all come storming out on the beach. They're like, why do you have our dog?
That's our dog. We're like,
well, where were you? And they're like, oh, well, we were gone for the weekend. I'm like, yeah, you left your kid at home for the weekend? But no babysitter?
So, okay. Yeah, we took Joe for the day, and then we did it again a couple times after. But we asked, and they let us, and so that was nice. And then I knew that they actually told us the story about him. He fell off the 3-story hotel building and survived. He has
That's what happens when you're babysat by military men.
Yeah, no.
We fall off of a 3-story building.
3-story building. He survived. He has he's a pirate dog, so he has one little eye
from falling
from that does not from function
the incident
from the incident. But I asked the military guys that had him what they would be doing with Joe afterwards. And I asked if I could adopt him, and they said yes, because we fell in love with him on the beach. And so now Joe he was the tiniest little, like, German shepherd looking thing, but now
he's big.
He's a big massive. Booty.
Okay, so it was Rizzo, Joe. When did Carrot come?
Oh, yeah. Carrot was before, but in all honesty, it was my dad's doing, so yeah. I didn't do this.
There
one.
We go.
He has a weakness in him. So he found
a strength. As some right. might say.
He found Carrot at the dump. And that is a common thing that happens. My dad was just throwing away the garbage, and he found him tied up with an extension cord.
Oh my gosh.
So he was like really mangled up with an extension cord. My dad cut it and brought him home. And so I named him because he's like orange, this little little guy who's about 65 pounds. And so I have Carrot, Rizzo, Joe. And then
this is where Journey successfully and officially started up the Tinian Booney Babies.
We rubbed off on her little too much.
It was too much. Like I would call them. I'd be like, hey guys, look at this cute little puppy. And it has a little, it's missing hair. And they would, you know, tell me how to help it and what I needed to do. And so I just somehow just kept collecting dogs. So my cousin and I were out at a beach having some drinks.
I had just left.
Yeah, too. She just left. She just went back to Grace. Just went back to Saipan
that day.
We were driving home after sunset, and we're going down from Northfield, which is the end of the island, all the way back to the village. And I see some things come flying out of the bushes, and there are 5 little, absolutely tick-ridden, mange little tiny babies, and they were probably about 5 weeks, I would say.
They're tiny.
They were really tiny. Anyway, we saw them, stopped. The only food that I had in my car was pizza, and I just was like, you know what, are you gonna eat pizza or nothing? So I gave them pizza, and then I looked at my cousin and her kids. I'm like, we have to go. We're not taking. We have nowhere to put these puppies.
Get in the car.
Those puppies were abandoned out in Northfield. Yeah. Obviously, someone had, you know, the litter. Their dog had 5 babies, and all of them were dumped out there. So we left, and then we couldn't stop thinking about it. So here I have these dogs at home already. My dad's already given me a lecture about bringing more dogs home. No more. That's it.
Well, 3 is a lot of dogs.
Well, it is.
And then you have found a litter of 5. So I understand the hesitation.
And they're all medicated and fed well and, you know, vaccinations and all that stuff. So it starts to starts to add up. I might take over and do a TikTok for my... I'm just kidding. Anyway, so these 5 puppies, we didn't know... We couldn't stop thinking about them, so we ended up going back. And they were there waiting for us. And we brought them proper food and water, and we brought them. Our family has an abandoned warehouse where we stored them for the night, before I could figure out what to do. And then they started to get They've stayed in the warehouse, but they started to get brave and walk all over. So I decided to bring all of them back home.
Yes. And so now we went from 3 to 5, or 3 plus 5. So total of 8 overnight.
And so we named them after the Ninja Turtles. So it's Leonardo, because it was 4 boys and 1 girl. Leonardo, Michelangelo, Raphael, Donatello, and April. So now I had 8 dogs. And my dad, I kept telling him, oh no, I'm just getting them to health and then the Boonie babies are going to adopt them out.
Little did he know that Journey was the Boonie baby.
I was starting to be the Tinian Boonie babies. After that happened, like a couple weeks later, I walked outside and I had a 9th dog. Somebody dropped a puppy over our fence and I was like, no, this cannot be happening. That one ended up passing away because I think he had parvo. But I named him Axel, and that's I had him for the best.
He was loved.
So, long story short, I went from living in a very bougie city to farm life, no pets, to now 6 dogs, and I love them. And my dog that I started with, Rizzo, is just as anxious as I am, and so we're a perfect match.
The definition of when you get a dog for your anxiety, and then the dog gets anxiety.
Yep, that's the dog. That's Rizzo. Anyway, I couldn't be more thankful for Boonie Babies giving all their support to the community, helping the issue with spays and feral dogs and cats, and all that they do to service our community.
Well, you say all that we do, but you really have been an active participant in this the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. You had me become vice president.
All that Boonie Babies has done is if she's not vice president on the Boonie Babies board. So,
yeah. So anyway, there's a big community actually in Tinian of pet owners that are looking for more resources and care for their animals. Everyone knows about Boonie Babies. Everybody wishes Boonie Babies was in Tinian. They ask all the time about when the next spay and neuter clinic is. I'm noticing that there is an increase of
don't say puppies.
Yes, puppies and cats everywhere.
Wrong answer.
And that was, I don't know if you remember, but when you first came over, you guys came over, there wasn't a lot. You remember like, oh, wow, it's
just
nothing like.
Just takes one.
Yeah.
We were actually really surprised. We were like, wow, there's not a lot of stray boonies on Tinian.
And so the other issue is that, you know, with lack of resources. For context, I live right next to the dog pound, the mayor's dog pound. And so you can see when the dogs are collected and then like you drive by at night, you see their shadows. And it's the most depressing thing ever because you know that there's the adoption rate is really low. And so you know that they're going to be put down in whatever way that is.
Yeah. Right? Well, and not only very similar to Saipan, the Tinian mayor's dog control program. Shelter. I really don't like calling it a shelter.
Because it was 6 kennels.
Yeah. Well, even on Saipan too, though, it's like there's no resources to properly care for the dogs and honestly, not a lot of interest to properly care for the dogs, which is a huge issue. But it not only do you know that these dogs are going to be euthanized, but you know that they are not going to be cared for, that the conditions are horrendous, that the last few days or not few days, because there is not consistent access to even have euthanasia drugs, their time spent in these holding facilities is just horrendous. So not only are you driving past these dogs being like, oh, you're not going to be here long, you're wishing that and hoping that they're put down soon, which is absolutely brutal. I can't believe you live next to that. That's tough.
Yeah, it really is tough because I drive by every day and I'm always thinking like, oh, that puppy's cute. Oh, don't look, like, just look away.
Yeah, you can't. There you are can't a lot of things here that you, well, you can't save them all and you honestly just can't look. Aria and I really struggle. Well, I personally struggle finding a balance of accepting that you can't save them all and doing what I can and having to look away in the sense that like, trying to support your own mental health doing what we're doing is just absolutely brutal. I think I've said it before that we literally should be in therapy for this, and maybe one day we will be. We should be. not will be. We're going to make that happen at one point. But it really affects you because there's nothing that you can do. And however you're looking at it and you're seeing these things, just this week, there were four dogs shot. And it's probably multiple people. I was going to say someone's going around shooting dogs. Four dogs shot. And those are the only four that were brought into the clinic. And these dogs weren't shot in the head. These dogs were shot in the leg. They're suffering. They're brought in by someone. Two of them have
friendly dogs. They're wagging their tails in there. It's not like they were shot because they were biting somebody.
So also on that perspective, just like a different perspective, different side of that, the shooting, I'll tell you my story. Donatello.
Yeah.
Was chasing my goat because I also have goats and chickens and horses. Anyway, Donatello was chasing a goat, our goat, out of the fence. And my uncle has a farm full of goats. And so my dad came home and he said, I think your dog has been shot. And so what I was trying to get at is that there are certain situations where it's their livelihood. It's like people's livelihood that are in danger with these like strays, like these strays that have no behavioral help and they are just trying to survive. So they're actually going after their livestock. And so that's how my dog was shot I was so mad. Like I was super mad because it cost me money and this poor guy was like injured and luckily he survived, but he shot them because he was afraid that he was going to kill all of his goats. Sorry.
Yeah. And I think the overall issue with that is there is a better way.
Yes.
Of like, we completely understand what you're saying. And I think people who aren't here can't possibly even begin to fathom of like, there's no justification for shooting a dog. And there absolutely is.
Yeah.
Like if it's between a stray boonie dog and your goats, I totally support that. You got to choose your goats. We had goats in our own backyard. They weren't our goats, but some stray dogs came and really injured these goats. It was so sad, horrible to watch. If the farmer was here and shot the dogs, he would absolutely have been in the right.
Well, I got into a bunch of trouble on TikTok because I was throwing rocks at him. And everybody's like, you can't throw rocks at dogs. I'm like, they're literally mauling this man's goats, his livelihood. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw rocks at the dogs.
Yeah. I guess so. There are two sides to this issue, and both sides are very valid. Of one, there are farmers here. The stray dogs are a nuisance. And back to our favorite catchphrase, love the dogs or hate them, they are a problem that needs to be solved. However, it's like, why is it coming to shooting these animals? Clearly, there are better ways. Clearly, the government needs to be involved. However, the shootings that we are specifically talking about, these were pets.
Right.
There was a puppy.
Yeah.
Like, a big part of there are things that there are farmers doing what they need to do and this and that. However, there is a huge half that we see a lot of animal abuse on this island and half of it is for fun.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I've seen that a lot as well.
Yeah. But what we really want Journey to be able to kind of maybe reiterate to viewers, especially our listeners, especially as someone who is truly a part of the community here, of there is a lot of animal abuse and there are a lot of people who couldn't care less about these dogs. However, there is this growing community of people across the CNMI who genuinely care about these animals and want to see a difference.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Journey was saying, she was like, before I met you guys, I didn't hate animals. I wasn't really actively involved. I didn't really want one particularly. And now look at you.
Now I can't help it. I even looked at this. Where's this baby squishy around here? I looked at it and I was like, could I have one more? Yes. And I was like, no, I have to tie my virtual tubes.
My virtual tubes are, the boonie tubes are tied.
Boonie tubes are tied. Anyway.
That's awesome. Yeah, but I think like, Journey has become one of our best friends for more than just the dogs, but it's incredible to see like the difference that we just by hanging out with us. Now she has six boonie dogs, but the impact that then you have taken that and changed and provided more resources to so many people on Tinian. It's one person creates such a huge chain reaction.
And it was actually really cool, too, because of Boonie Babies. They did the spay-neuter clinic in Tinian.
Journey was a top-tier volunteer at.
I was a volunteer. I think it was really cool for the community to see a local involved with the process. And, you know, they see me on the road still, and they, like, say hi and things because I helped with you guys and bring their dogs back to consciousness after, you know, surgery and... but yeah, there's a big community of dog owners that are really great with their walking their dogs and caring for their dogs and, you know, giving them the proper medicine. But then there's the other part that is really, it's about education. It's about culture.
Exposure too.
Yeah, sense of like,
I remember when we were doing our spay and neuter clinic on Tinian, there was that farmer that brought in his dog with a rubber band around the balls and which is horrific to see, but when you're thinking about it, you're like, okay, this is how they castrate goats.
Yes.
He didn't want his dog impregnating anybody else's dog, and he had no idea you couldn't do that. We talked to him, and we were like, hey, this actually doesn't work on dogs. It's very painful, unfortunately, and the result just is not there. And he was so apologetic and was like, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry I did this. I didn't realize it was different than goats.
Yeah.
And then we neutered his dog and he took it home and it was completely well cared for aside from the rubber band. But just another example of like, it's all in the lack of resources and knowledge.
Knowledge is power. And I wouldn't say all, like it definitely is a huge part and a huge majority. There are those people that are malicious, but they are a small fraction of what we're dealing with. We always say, like, when we have our spay and neuter clinics, we are always amazed at the genuine want of people coming in who are wanting better.
They're always maxed out.
Yeah.
And they see me on the road and they're like, when is the next spay and neuter? Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not sure. I'll, you know, check with the girls, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because Saipan, we have all these issues and it's so hard to get vets out here and this and that. But Tinian, even though you can literally see it from here, it's even harder because there's no clinic there. So we have to fly all of our equipment out. It's significantly more expensive. Mm-hmm. And then we're serving a community who, again, when you have six dogs in your yard, $100 per dog, you don't have $600 to drop on your dogs. The average person anywhere doesn't have that. So doing clinics on Tinian present a lot of different challenges, but they are a community that is just as much in need, if not more in need, and wanting to see that difference made.
Absolutely. Yeah. I would agree to that for sure. So when I first learned about Boonie Babies, it was a small idea.
It really was an idea.
And then I could just see it. Just all the ideas started trickling in on how these two girls, and let me just clarify, like, they're young women. I'm quite older than them. I try to look like as young as them, but I'm kidding.
I mean, when we first met, we were like, I was like 17.
Mm-hmm. Right. So imagine my surprise finding out that these two girls spend their lifetime, like, every day, day in, day out, doing the most disgusting things, you know, picking off maggots and ticks and getting these dogs medicated, risking their safety by going in on people, like, you know, picking up dogs that you don't know, are they going to bite you? So watching them grow has been an incredible honor because I've seen what they've done for the community, the awareness that they have shared out there. I mean, they're in the newspaper like almost every other day, honestly. people are very well aware of Boonie Babies. And then to see how exciting that their TikTok has blown up with a bunch of followers. And, you know, they're doing all these fundraiser events, which I've also been a part of. And they've connected with so many people across the world. I mean, they had volunteers here from all different parts of, you know, North America, Canada, shout out to Canada. I'm Canadian, so I had to do that. But it's been quite amazing to see how far they've grown. And I can see that they have so many great ideas on how to expand. And they're completely dedicated to it. So when I get frustrated when
that's
see...
That's honey coughing in the background. Yeah, FYI. It's not. That's a dog. Yeah. It's not us.
It's not us. I get really frustrated when I see... you know, just uneducated people make really rude comments. And a lot of the times, depending on my mood, I want to say something, but then I just, you know, keep quiet and just recognize that they're uneducated. And so what you guys are doing is so powerful. You're reaching people all over the world, and just keep doing what you're doing. It's phenomenal. And I've actually, because of you guys, my mom that moved over to Tinian as well has two cats from Grace.
Yep.
And a dog that someone dumped a dog on her porch because she knew she was related to me. She's like, oh, that's this is Journey's starts. Mom. We're going to leave a dog here. So yeah, now she has a puppy.
Journey's mom and Journey's friends with the Boonie babies there for.
Slowly removed Journey's
life. To their credit, the dog is very well taken care of now.
Very, he's thick. Anyway, yeah, just keep up what you're doing. I'm really impressed. Super young, super ambitious, powerful women that have just blown my mind.
Anyway. Well, thank you. And seriously, Journey's being modest about her overall contribution and support to Boonie Babies.
She really helped kickstart it. I mean, we were throwing out ideas of sponsors and all that, and Journey was the first one to hop on and say, you girls can do this. Keep going.
Yeah, I think it's just absolutely, I feel like I say this every time, but it's so incredible to see the impact that we are able to make, which would not be possible with people like Journey, who are on hitting the ground running and actively participating. But to seriously everyone just listening to this podcast, who's following along, who's rooting for change, it's incredible the difference that we have seen, that we're able to make, the things that we're can continue doing. It just means the world to us, and we're so excited to keep doing that. Thank you so much to everyone who has listened. Again, special shout out to Triple J Motors on Saipan and Guam. If you were ever wondering how many dogs fit in a Mazda, I think, what do we even have? A Mazda CRX?
Something.
It's like 12. We got our car from them. They're always very kind to us. And it takes a village. It takes an island. So we are super excited to see the growth and support of our community continue to rise as we work together to save the Boonies. We'll see you next week on Hot Girls Rescue Dogs. Thanks, Journey.
Bye. Thank you.